All right. So for today, we are going to continue basically on what we talked about last week, when we're going to specifically look at the topic of prophecy. So last week, we looked at the Bible, and that was really the foundation for what we will be talking about today. So last week, we talked about how important the Bible is to all of us, and it's supposed to be. How it's supposed to be important in our lives, because there are so many things in this world that contradict each other. There are so many lies out there. I mean, just watch a bit of politics and sports and all these things. How many people are lying to millions of people through TV all the time? And so we see this world is a world that is full of lies. But the only reliable source to really know the truth is the Bible. And one of the things that I said last time was everything that the Bible says is absolutely true. And anything that, any message or any opinion out there that contradicts what the Bible is saying is a lie. It's a false. And that's really the foundation for today's talk. The Bible is a great guide for many of life's questions. I mean, very often when we have questions, should I do this or should I do that? Then when we look at the Bible and we really apply it, we already have the answers. And we already know what we are supposed to do and what we are not supposed to do. But it does not direct us exactly for 100% of all our decisions. For example, the Bible gives great principles about marriage. And it tells us, for example, that Christians should not get romantically involved with non-Christians and those kind of things. So there are great guidelines. But the Bible does not say exactly which person to marry. At least not to me. The Bible gives principles about money and what we should do with our money and what is important and how to balance saving and giving and spending and all these things. That's all important. And the Bible gives great guidelines on that. But it does not spell out all the details. That's then a personal decision where God can guide us personally in different ways. The Bible gives great principles about work, about career, and it tells us a lot about how we should work and why we should work and what our attitude should be and all these things. But you will not find a Bible verse that tells you if I get two offers that both have a good package, it doesn't say take this one and don't take that one. So the Bible is a great guideline, and of course when the biblical principles apply to our situations, then we need to follow them. But within the biblical principles, there are still sometimes questions that we cannot resolve by simply reading the Bible. And so sometimes God can guide us in ways on top of the Bible. But I can't stress it enough, the foundation for being guided by God through prophecy and other ways that we talk about today has to be that we know our Bible. If we don't know the Bible, if we don't know what the Bible says, other voices will lead us astray, and we will get confused, and we will think that God is guiding us to something when anybody who knows the Bible can immediately say, that's not God, that's not how God acts, and that's not right. So the reason why I'm stressing this again is, please do not take today's message alone. If you just take today's message by itself, then you will run into great trouble. This is part two of what we talked about last week. And when we talk about prophecy today, we can only talk about that if we understand the underlying principle. The Bible is the final authority. The Bible has to be the guideline for everything we do. And prophecy can only happen within the context of the things that the Bible clearly tells us to do and not to do. And prophecy will never, ever violate biblical principles. So, the topic for today is prophecy. What is it? What does that mean? Simply speaking, it's just speaking forth the truth of God to one another. When we say the truth of what God is saying to one another, then we are exercising prophecy. And there are different ways in which we do that. One of them we are all familiar with, Bible verses. When we have questions, that's what we do on Sundays in the small group when we don't have this service like today. we speak Bible verses to one another. Oftentimes people have questions and they say, well, I'm confused, what should I do? Or I have a question about this and that. And then there are other people in the group who then say, you know, the Bible talks about it. And then we quote the Bible or we read the Bible together and these kind of things. So when we share Bible verses with one another in answers to the questions that we have, then we're exercising prophecy. Sometimes it's not directly a Bible verse, but it's more biblical principle. Again, something we often do in our small group. We don't really, sometimes we simply share things we know that are true about God. It might not be exactly that we do a deep Bible study and can really show a Bible verse for everything we say. But we know these things are true. And if someone really asks us back and says, tell me why this is true and tell me where the Bible says, so then we could say, okay, let me do some research. I'll get back to you. I know it's in there. I just don't have the verse with me right now, but I can give it to you. So sometimes we share these kind of biblical principles with each other and we say to each other, you know, God is love. You know, God forgives. You know, God comes again. And so when we share these kind of truths about God with one another, we exercise prophecy. So these are two ways that we are all very familiar with. Then the third way, and that's what we'll talk about a little bit more today, is sometimes God gives us a supernatural revelation. And sometimes God just speaks to us in a way that we can't really explain, and we just know God is speaking to us through one another. Let me just give you one example, true story that happened at SEF, church, our church in Shanghai. We had an alpha meeting there one day, and suddenly one guy came forward, and he looked confused, say it this way. And he looked really, really uncomfortable. And he said, you know, something along those lines, you know, this has never happened to me, and I've never done this before, and I feel really uncomfortable, but I feel that God is telling me that there is someone here today who has a heart murmur, a heart problem. Now, most of the people there, English was the second language. I had no idea what he was talking about. And so there were some discussions going on between one another. What is a heart murmur? And so on. And eventually, one of the girls that was there, she was Chinese, she went to her small group leader and she asked him, what is a heart murmur? And that guy explained it to her. And she said, like, I have this condition. I think this is for me. And so the small group started to pray for her. And then she got healed. From that day onwards, she never ever had problem with her heart again. And that's now 10 years ago or something like this. So this is just one of the examples when it can happen that God just gives us a supernatural revelation about something that is going on with someone else in the group, and he wants us to speak out this kind of word, and he wants us then to act on whatever he is saying. Now there's a reason why we chose this kind of topic for today. And that is, over the last few weeks, in these services, we have already used prophetic gifts. Some of you might remember that at the Reformation celebration, when Claire was here, that's what she did. She just spoke something that she felt God was giving her at that particular moment. Sometimes in my prayer in the end, I also said something along the lines of, I feel God is saying something, and I spoke it out. So we've already used these kind of gifts in our services, but we kind of realized among the leadership team that some of you might not be familiar with this. And some of you might wonder, like, so what on earth am I supposed to do with this? What on earth am I supposed to do if someone comes to me and says, I believe that God is telling you this? And you're like, What's next? Is it always true? Do I always automatically have to do if someone says to me, God told me to tell you that, blah, blah, blah. Does that mean it's always true? Do I always have to do it? What if I doubt? What if it doesn't make sense to me? What if I don't want to do what I've been told to do? That's the kind of questions that maybe are in some of your heads right now. And that's why we felt if we want to continue using these kind of gifts and continue using prophecy in our services, then we kind of need to talk about it and talk a little bit about how to respond to that. Now, let's talk a little bit more about what the Bible says on this topic, and then we get more practical in how we use this here. First question, who is a prophet? And the answer is simple. Everyone. All of us are called to be prophets. We are called to share life together. One of our values here at this church is community. One of the things we want to do and when we have our small group together is we want to speak the truth to one another. And when someone has a question, we want to answer to that. When someone has a problem, we want to pray for that person. We want to give advice to that person. We want to tell to each other, this is what the Bible says about your situation. Those kind of things. And so if we want to do that, and if we do that, then we are prophets towards one another. So everybody is called to be a prophet. But there are some people who have a special gift in this area. Romans 12 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. This is one of the passages, and it's not the only one in the New Testament, that talks about prophecy being a special gift. Some people have this kind of ability, the supernatural ability given by God, to receive words about a particular situation at a particular time. And God wants them then to share that with one another, similar to what sometimes happens during, or mostly towards the end of our service. So everybody is called to be a prophet, but some people have a special gift in this area. Now, the important thing is that doesn't make them better Christians. I think it's human tendency to kind of think like, whoa, you're a prophet. You must be this really great Christian. You can hear God's voice. I believe anything you say. That's dangerous. That's a very, very dangerous attitude. A prophet is not a better Christian. A prophet just has a specific gift in this area. Other people have gifts in other areas. Some people are gifted in hospitality. Some people are gifted in, let's say, they are very smart and they understand, have special insights in the Bible and these kind of things. Some people, they are very gifted and maybe caring for other people and they have a gift in that area. Some people have a gift in evangelism. It's just natural for them to just go out and tell everybody, hey, come to the church. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. In our midst, that's Nadia. She is the person who is bringing all the people, all the guests to us week by week. So everybody has a gift, and some people have this gift of prophecy. But that doesn't make them better Christians. It's just that God gifts them in a certain way. So the focus for today is not so much on how can I become prophetically gifted. That's not our focus. But what I want to focus on is, what should I do if someone comes to me and says, I have a word from God for you? So in the Old Testament, prophecy was limited to specific people. When you read through the Old Testament, there were many prophets, but basically what they did mostly was they were predicting the future. And very often it was about judgment. Very often they went to the people of Israel and they said things like, you know, you guys are all doing really bad stuff, and if you don't change, God is going to come and judge you, and God is going to do something to get your attention. That was mostly the work of a prophet in the Old Testament. Read through Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, that's the major prophets. Then some of the minor prophets like Joel, Amos, Malachi, Zechariah, all these people. They were all prophets. And we can read how they basically foretold what's going to happen in the future. They often said, if you don't change, if you don't listen to God now, this is what's going to happen in the future. So this is what the role of the prophet was in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, things changed a little bit. Who gives us the ability to prophesy? The Holy Spirit, of course. And the Holy Spirit, now in the New Testament, is available to all of us all the time. Now that's, again, a whole separate sermon. But basically, the Holy Spirit now gives us the ability to prophesy whenever he wants us to. Now, the wrath of God was already revealed. In the Old Testament, it was very important to stress the whole emphasis on the wages of sin is death. Now, for us in the New Testament, that has already been revealed. Look at the movie The Passion of Christ. It's just as one example, how horrible it was, what Jesus went through. Pray over the Bible verses and see really how the pain that he went through, and not just the physical pain, but the spiritual pain of being separated from the Father, all these things. we know, if we are serious about our Christian faith, we know how serious our sin is and how great the wrath of God is. And so that has already been revealed. So that's not necessarily, it can be the focus of a prophecy, but not necessarily. But what's happening now is that God can speak to any of us at any time when he wants to. Happened a few times in Shanghai. Let me just give you another example. One time, it was worship, like we just had. It was a big church back then. And there was a friend, originally a friend of my wife. As we got married, she also became a friend of mine. And she was a very good keyboard player. And so during one service, I was just worshiping and not thinking about anything but just about God. I just saw her on the stage, and I just had this wild passion. And I was like, God, what on earth is going on? And so eventually, I felt like God was telling her to not give up. I'm like, what on earth is that supposed to mean? But the more I prayed and the more I asked God, the more I felt like, go to her and tell her, do not give up. And so I went to her after the service, and I was like, I have no idea what this means. But after I shared it with her, it made perfect sense. And she shared a little bit about her life and the situation she was going through and everything. And she was so thankful afterwards that I gave her that word. And it really spoke to her. And she knew that God had been speaking to her at that particular moment. Another situation, when I was on the receiving end. When my wife and I, when we were engaged, and we knew that we were going to get married, there was a good friend of us who also had this kind of gift and who regularly gave prophetic words. And she came to us and she said, she encouraged us about our relationship, but at the same time she cautioned us and she said, you know, I believe that God is telling you to not get married for 2 years. And I'm like, what? I was a little bit confused about that at first. I was just like, okay, if that is, yeah, let's just leave it there. And I don't want to say I forgot about the word, but at that particular moment, I didn't take it too seriously because I was really a little bit cautious about whether this is really God. And so I just left it there. We continued with our planning and everything. And, okay, let me clarify one thing. She said 2 years from your baptism. My baptism was December 24th, 2004. And she told us, don't get married. The first 2 years, your first 2 years belong to God before you get married. And so then we went on, and eventually then we made our wedding plans and everything. And then around the time we got married and we had already set our wedding date, God reminded me of that prophecy. Guess when we got married? December 30th, 2006. 2 years and 6 days after my baptism. So that was a situation when I was on the receiving end of a prophecy, when someone spoke to me, and even though I was a little bit cautious at the time, whether this was really God. Now looking back, I can say with absolute certainty that was a message from God. He was telling us, through her, to set a certain timeline about our relationship. So yeah, prophecy is real, and God can speak to us that way, but we have to be very, very careful, because reality is there are a lot of people out there who misuse the name of God. And there are people out there who lie, and they try to force their lies by saying, God told me to. And that is a very, very sad and a very, very serious offense towards God. So I just gave you two good examples. Let me give you a bad example. Was a guy, was on our team, was a team where we were working similar to our Explorer group with people who were very new to the Christian faith or who were not yet Christians, who just wanted to explore. And there was one young girl who came to his group one time, but she was really assigned to another group. And then he kind of liked her, and then he went to her and said, God told me that you should be in my group. I was really, really upset, as you can imagine, when I found out what had happened. Because this guy who was on our team really misused the name of God simply because he wanted to spend time with that girl. And so my point being, people misuse this. Prophecy is real, but there are a lot of people out there who misuse it, who use it for their own purposes, and who simply say stuff and say, God told me to, so that people are more receptive to whatever they want to say. So, yes, it's real, but unfortunately, there's also a lot of misuse, a lot of lies, and a lot of deception out there through claiming to have a prophetic word. Now let's talk specifically about prophecy within the church during church gathering like this one, and that will then hopefully also help us how to use this gift and how to respond when someone comes to us claiming to have a word from God. 1 Corinthians 14 says that the prophets speak two or three and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, that let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not an author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So here Paul gives some clear instructions about how to use this gift and also how to respond when we hear someone using this gift. Let's break it down a little bit. The first part of the verse says this. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. One of the important things about prophecy is it has to be orderly. If there is no order, if it's just confusing, if it's just wild, that's not God. God is never a God of chaos. If words are confusing that are given and people get confused, I've been to meetings where this kind of gift was used in a bad way. I don't even know if it was a gift or if people just kind of made their own thing, but people started to shout at each other and shouting louder than the other person and these kind of things so that everybody hears them. And then it was just totally chaotic. It was just totally wild. And it was just totally confusing. And I was sitting there and I was like, huh? What's going on here? Who is speaking right now? Who is in charge of this meeting right now? What's going on here? If you're in that kind of setting, that's not God. God is a God of order. And it's also clear, the Bible, the verse here says, let the others judge. When someone claims to have a prophetic word, that doesn't just mean that it's true. It's all our responsibility to judge. It's all our responsibility to think about it and to come to a conclusion whether this is really God or whether this is not God and whether the person just made something up or maybe is really lying. So there has to be order, and just because someone says, God told me to, doesn't mean that it's true. All our responsibility is to listen to it and then to judge whether it's true. And I'll get into in a minute on what exactly that means, on how exactly we do that. And then the verse speaks about the purpose of prophetic words. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. That's what prophetic words are there for. First of all, prophetic words are there to learn the truth about God. Because we can do that in general, about who God is, when we share Bible verses with one another and those kind of things. But it's also, it can be specific. We can speak specifically to one another about what God wants to say to us in our specific situation. So the learning aspect is very, very important. If there's nothing to learn, if someone just gives any kind of words and says, I believe God is saying this, God is saying that, but if there's nothing to learn, if there's nothing, no information, then it's definitely not God. There has to be a learning aspect for, as a recipient. And secondly, the verse says, all may be comforted. Why did Jesus come? He came to bring peace. He came to bring joy. He came to cover our guilt, our shame, our fears, all these things. He came to take all of that away. And a prophetic word can never be from God if it does exactly the opposite. If we feel guilty afterwards, if we feel ashamed afterwards, if it robs our peace, if it robs our joy, all these things, then it's not from God. Then it's something else. If we feel condemned, that's not the work of God. Now, just to be clear, of course this can include correction. Again, going back to the parent-child analogy, what I want for my children is to have a great life 20 years from now when they live without me, and that they know what is right and wrong, and that I don't need to look over their shoulder any longer, but they have internalized it for themselves, and they live according to my values, ultimately God's values. That's what I want for them. Now, in the process, of course, it can be painful for both sides. In the process, I need to discipline them. In the process, I need to tell them, you can't do that. And they don't like that. But then eventually, hopefully, they will internalize it. And eventually, it will bear fruit. So yes, the verse says, we are to be comforted by prophetic words, but that does not mean that it does not never include correction. It does not mean that it never includes something like God is telling you to stop doing what you are doing. That's part of it. But we have to understand, God has a long-term goal, and he wants to make us holy. And so when we do something that is not right, then it is possible that God comes to us and tells us, don't do it. But it's still in love, it's still in peace, it's still in comfort. It's not a contradiction. But God is telling us, stop something because it's not good for you. Similar to a parent. So that's the purpose of prophetic words. We are to learn and we are to be comforted. And then thirdly, the verse talks about peace instead of confusion. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Confusion is never from God. Confusion is a tool that the devil tries to get us to look everywhere and to just be stuck. But that's not how God works. A true prophet will also always be respectful and respect others. I've had that again at SAF, a bad example. One time was a normal church service. We were just about to finish. The pastor just finished his sermon. And suddenly this lady ran to the front and she started speaking all kinds of things in Chinese, in an English-speaking service, by the way, in Chinese to the whole congregation, talking to the whole crowd of 600 people. And I don't know what she said, but honestly, I don't care. Because just by the fact that she did not talk with anyone, she just tried to take over the service, she did not go to the pastor, she did not go to a leader, she didn't ask for permission, no, nothing, just told me, this is not a prophet from Jesus. She is not speaking forth the word of God. Because God is a God of order. And a true prophet will never force his way. A true prophet will never kind of undermine a church or something like this. A true prophet will only ever do what he gets permission to do within the church context. And so that's again another way of discerning whether a prophet is a true prophet from God. Is it about order? Is the person respectful? Or is it just confusing about what this person is doing? And if it's confusing, it's definitely not from God. And then the whole church has a responsibility to judge whether what the person is speaking is actually true. Let the prophet speak, two or three, and let the others judge. Here, of course, we have a bit different role. Leadership of the church is, of course, ultimately responsible to allow prophetic words or to stop someone and to say, I don't believe that you are from God, so I don't allow you to speak any longer. Of course, leadership is there, needs to be there to correct and to say something like, hey, what the person said actually isn't true, and this is why, because the Bible says this, 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 and the person said something else, so don't believe what the person said. The church leadership is there for these kind of responsibilities, but to some extent, all of us have that responsibility. It's not something that we can just say like, okay, let the pastor do it. again, coming back to the topic from last week, all of us need to know our Bible. And all of us need to have our own relationship with God so that we are able to discern whether a prophecy that is given can be true or whether it simply contradicts what the Bible says. And then we can immediately say, I'm not listening to you any longer because the Bible tells me something else. All of us have a responsibility to discern. So let me just give you some principles how we can discern prophetic words. First of all, of course, the Bible. I say it again. Anything the Bible says is true, and anything that contradicts the Bible's teaching is not true. And so I really want to encourage all of us once again, be a Berean. Build your own relationship with God. Don't just come here on Sunday and listen to what I have to say. Read the Bible by yourself. Listen to sermons throughout the weeks. Read books about Christianity and those kind of things. Build your own relationship with God. Challenge me. If I say something that you don't like or that you think is not biblical or whatever, come to me afterwards respectfully, not as to start an argument, but simply to say, hey, I see things a little bit differently. Can we talk about it? Those kind of things. When we know the Bible, then we can already discern a lot whether a prophecy can be true or whether a prophecy is definitely wrong simply because the Bible tells us something else. So that's the first thing. The Bible is the main tool how we can discern true prophet, a true prophecy from a false prophecy. Second thing I want to say is a prophetic word always, 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 always fits into the bigger picture. What do I mean by that? For example, if someone comes to you and says, I believe God is calling you to go to Venezuela, and you don't even know where Venezuela is, then it's not God. A prophecy always fits into the bigger picture. Let me explain to you. For example, sometimes God already gives you some clues. And maybe you already have a feeling, maybe God is telling me something. Maybe God is telling me to change job. Maybe God is telling me to move to a different country. Maybe, I'm not sure, but maybe there's something going on, and I think maybe God wants me to change something in my life. And sometimes when we have these kind of questions, but we are not sure yet whether it's really God, then sometimes it can happen that God confirms what we already think through a prophetic word. And we're already thinking about something, and then suddenly someone comes to us and says the same thing, and then suddenly we realize, now I'm sure it's really God. Sometimes it goes the other way around. Sometimes it starts with a prophetic word, and our first reaction is, no way. But we give God time, give God the option, and eventually we realize through that prophetic word something started. And then through some other ways, God guided us in the same way. And then 6 months later, a year later, we kind of look back and we realize, you know, in the beginning, I didn't really believe that word was really from God. But now looking back, I can say it wasn't the only thing. God gave me 5 other confirmations over the last 2 months as well. And so I really start thinking about whether this was really from God. But my point being, a prophetic word never, ever comes alone. And if someone says to you something in the name of God and says, I believe God told me blah, 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 and you have no other confirmation, not before, not after, nothing, then I'm pretty sure it wasn't God. It never comes alone. Let me just give you one more example. When we had already decided to leave Shanghai and to come to Munich to start a new church, but we hadn't gone public yet. At that time, it was still 9 months to go or so, and pastor asked us, keep it to yourself for the moment so that we don't cause any confusion within our church about what's going on. So that's what the situation we were in, and so hardly anybody knew. Obviously, some alpha people knew because my successor knew who took over my job and those kind of things. Pastor knew, the elders knew, but most people did not know that we were about to leave. And during that time, we had some doubts. Because, of course, it was a big move. a lot of questions, a lot of worries, not worries, but a lot of concerns about our future and everything. And during that time, it was really, we were up and down, like, yeah, we really want to go. And at other times, we were like, ah, do we really want to do this? It was just an emotional roller coaster. And so that was the situation we were in. And suddenly, one of our friends came to us, and he said, keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right track. God wants you to move forward in what he put in your heart. And that was such a wonderful confirmation. He had no idea what he was talking about. He thought he was talking about something in Shanghai. But for us, we knew that was God telling us, we are on the right track. We are doing the right thing. Keep on going. Keep on pursuing it. God will take care of us. Move to Munich, and things will work out. So that was one of those situations when just a word that was given to us was just a perfect word, a perfect comfort, a perfect confirmation. But it didn't come by itself. It didn't come alone. It fitted into the bigger picture of our lives, and it was just an affirmation that we needed at that particular moment, because emotionally, we were not doing too well. But since after we got that word, suddenly we had a new determination to say, let's do this thing. God is with us. So a prophetic word always fits into the bigger picture. Next thing I want to say is, talk with mature Christian friends, if you're not sure. Makes all the difference. Proverbs 15:22, one of many verses that talks about the same principle. Without counsel, plans go wrong. Pretty plain, pretty direct. Without counsel, plans go wrong. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And the book of Proverbs is full of the same advice, saying the same thing over and over again, just in different words. If someone comes to you or says something about God, or God told me to, or something, whatever, and you're not sure, talk with other Christians. Talk with a brother or sister in Christ and share them with them your situation. So often, someone else can see things more clearly because they're not emotionally involved. So from the outside, when we just share with someone and say, okay, I'm confused, or I'm disturbed, or whatever, and we share that with someone else, that person can often give us the kind of advice and the kind of guidance that we cannot give to ourselves. Talk with others and be honest and say, I'm confused. There's nothing wrong with admitting to one another and saying, I don't know what to do. I'm confused. I don't know whether this was God. I don't know whether God is speaking to me right now. I don't know. And that is sometimes the best spot to be in. And then to go to someone else and to say, can you help me? Can you pray with me? Can you give me some advice? And so I really want to encourage all of us, if someone comes to you, gives you a prophetic word and you're not sure, simply talk with someone else about it. That's often the kind of advice, or that's often the kind of guidance we need to really discern. Next thing goes along with what I said with prophetic word always fits into the bigger picture. Simply ask God for a confirmation. There is really no need to act on prophetic word unless you're sure it's really from God. And unless you're sure, you can just leave it there and simply ask God, God, if this is really you, confirm it. Say it again to me in a different way. Or, the other way around, if it's not from you, then tell me something else. And make it clear to me that that was really not from you. Ask God for a confirmation, and he's usually pretty good in showing that to us. And then give it time. God can confirm a prophetic word, or he can also do the opposite. And he is a God of clarity, and he does not want us to be confused. And so when we really consider something, and we honestly lay it before God and say, God, confirm it or take it. Either way is fine with me. I just want clarity. Clarity is something that comes from God. Confusion is something that comes from the devil. And so there's, like I said, there's no need to act on a prophetic word until we can say, I've given it time. I wasn't sure in the beginning, but the more time I gave God, the stronger I feel about it, the more I'm convicted it's really God. And so after weeks and months of simply discerning and asking God about it, eventually we often throughout time come to the conclusion, yes, God confirmed it many times, and now I know it was really God. Or we eventually come to the conclusion, it wasn't him. It's clear now, and I don't need to think about this any longer. Time can very often answer our questions. So these are some tools that I wanted to give to all of us to simply discern, because discerning a word is so, so, so important. If we don't discern, we will simply be led astray. So in summary, prophetic words are real. They are biblical. The Bible talks about it. There are many examples in the Bible of people giving prophetic words to one another. And I've also given you some personal examples tonight. They are real. They can be great. They can be so encouraging. They can be just what we need at a specific time. But there is also a lot of misuse of this gift out there. And if we believe everybody who says something to us in the name of God, we will be led astray. It's only a matter of time. So when someone comes to us and gives us a prophetic word, that's not the same as if the Bible tells us to do something. And it's not the same as if God were to speak to us. It's never the only way in which God speaks, but what it can be is, it can be a confirmation, something that confirms the bigger picture, something we have already been thinking about or considering for a while. So because there is so much misuse of prophetic words, some churches nowadays, unfortunately, are afraid of it. And they simply say, we don't want that in our church at all. We don't want prophetic words because something could go wrong. But we in this church, we have decided that we are not going to go to that extreme. We will be a church where we encourage prophetic words and where we will allow people to speak forth prophetic words. For example, 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, therefore, brethren, be eager to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. The Bible encourages the gift of prophecy. Now, at the same time, I want to say we are aware of the dangers and we are aware that this can go horribly wrong if we are not careful. That's why we will be very careful how we allow these kind of words, who will be allowed, who will not be allowed. And we will emphasize a lot that it has to be orderly. And if it's not orderly, if it's not encouraging, if it's not teaching, then we don't allow it. And we would stop someone immediately if something like this would be happening. But at the same time, we do want everyone to know we will allow and we will even encourage these kind of words in our services. But at the same time, the consequence of that is, of course, if we allow this, then the church needs to know, all the members need to know how to deal with them. And that's what today was all about. That's why we covered this particular topic as part of the message today. So bottom line, we want to be a church where God speaks to us and through us. But it has to be orderly. It has to be done the right way. And we certainly do not want to end in chaos and confusion. We want to be a church where everybody can use their gifts. And all of us have gifts. We don't want to be the kind of church where the pastor does everything and everybody worships the pastor. Unfortunately, there are many churches out there like that. We don't want to be like that. We want everyone to use their gifts. And if your gift is hospitality, we want to encourage you to use it. If your gift is cooking, we want to encourage you to use it. If your gift is giving, we want to encourage you to give it, to use it, to be generous, all these things. And at the same time, if your gift is prophecy, we want to encourage you to use it in an orderly way, in a way that is building the church and helping all of us grow deeper in our relationship with God. We want to be a church where everybody can use their gifts, and we want to be a church where God can move. We're not here for the sake of just having a church service. We're not here for the sake of hanging out together, having fellowship together. That's all good, nothing wrong with that, but that's not the purpose. We're here because we want God to speak to us. And he does that in different ways. Most of the time he does that through the Bible. Sometimes he does that maybe through a message or something like this during Sunday service. Sometimes he does it when we talk with one another and simply we share our life experiences with one another, all these things. But sometimes, I believe, God will want to speak to us prophetically. And sometimes God wants to speak to us through one another in a supernatural way. And we have made the decision. We want to allow that in this church. And we want to practice that in this church. But we want to do it in a way that glorifies God. And we want to do it in a way that everybody feels encouraged and everybody can grow in their relationship with God through using this gift. So that's the topic for today. That's what we wanted to share. And we're not going to do anything about it today. We're not going to practice now or anything like that. But we did want to give you the tools so that when it happens next time, that all of us then know in a better way how to respond and how to handle it. May we pray. Father, thank you that you speak to us. And thank you, Lord, that you have your own unique ways, Lord, to tell us things that we just can't miss it and that we just know that you are speaking to us personally in a particular situation. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the Bible. And we want to thank you, Lord, for the wonderful truth that you have revealed to us through this book. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to be diligent students, Lord, of your word in all that we do. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to know your word, examine your word, discern your word. You will help us to apply your word in our lives and to really respond to it in whatever ways you want us to respond. But Lord, at the same time, we want to be open to you speaking to us in other ways. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us to know your voice from other voices. Teach us to discern. Teach us to know what you are saying to us at a particular time. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to know when it's not you as well. In a world that is full of lies, in a world that is telling us so many things, and very often in your name, that are simply not true. Lord, we pray that you will give us the gift of discernment and that you will help us, Lord, to truly know the things that you are speaking to us and to truly know, Lord, the things that are not from you. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to draw closer to you, walk with you, listen to you, be like sheep following their shepherd, who simply come in blind trust to their shepherd when the shepherd calls them. And when anyone else calls them, Lord, they run away. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us that kind of ability. You offer it to us. But we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will give us just that ability to know your voice from any other voice. Give us the trust to follow your voice. And Lord, give us also the trust to immediately reject any other voice and to turn away from it. Lord, we are grateful for your presence. We are grateful for your Holy Spirit. And we are grateful, Lord, for the absolute truth from your word. Teach us, Lord, to bring this all in balance in our lives and to mature and to grow in our faith in you and the way we live. Thank you, Jesus.